Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Joining us today is Hal Elrod, a remarkable man who's redefined what it means to bounce back. He's not only a survivor of a catastrophic car collision that left him dead for 6 minutes, but he also won a fierce battle with an aggressive cancer. He's a shining example of what it means to turn trials into triumphs. His book, The Miracle Morning, has sparked a global movement awakening millions to the potential of dawn. It has soared beyond 2.5 million sales, reached a global audience in 37 languages, and earned over 50,000 five-star reviews. He joins us today with a rejuvenated perspective, a newly updated and expanded edition. If you're eager to uncover the marvels of each new dawn, stay tuned. Your morning miracle awaits, and it all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is an international sought-after keynote speaker and author of 12 books that have sold a combined 3.5 million copies. His hundreds of media features and appearances include The Today Show, NBC's Daytime, Fox News, Success Magazine, Impact Theory, Rich Dad Radio with Robert Kiyosaki, and much more. In his latest book, The Miracle Morning Updated and Expanded Edition, he's rewritten the content and added over 70 pages, including two new chapters called The Miracle Evening, Your Strategy for Blissful Bedtime and Better Sleep, and The Miracle Life, Your Path to Inner Freedom. Welcome to the show, Hal Elrod.
Dr. Friedman, that may be the best introduction I've ever had in my life, man. Thank you so much.
It's hard to wheedle that. That's, how do I get this down to this abbreviated version? I'll be here all day. The guy's done so much. So glad you could join us. First, share with the listeners the inspiration behind Miracle Morning and how you turned your physical and emotional mess into such a profound message.
Yeah, it was such an organic kind of, you know, I wouldn't say accidental, but it wasn't something that I intended or planned or had as a book idea. It was 2008, the U.S. economy crashed, and I crashed with it. I was an entrepreneur, I had my own coaching business, coaching salespeople, other entrepreneurs. And during the 2008 Great Recession, in a six-month period, I lost over half of my clients. Therefore, I lost over half of my income, and I couldn't pay my bills. I had to foreclose on my house, which, you know, I'd bought my first home a year and a half prior. I was 28 years old, I think. And I really went into a deep kind of spiraled into a depression, and I was deep in debt. I'm living on credit cards, getting ready to move back in with my dad. I mean, like life was just, it was falling apart. And I went on a run and I listened to a Jim Rohn audio that a buddy recommended. And there was a single quote that gave birth to the Miracle Morning. And it was Jim Rohn saying, "Our levels of success in every area of our lives will rarely exceed our level of personal development." In other words, in your health, your finances, your relationships, your personal development, as in the rituals and routines you have in place every day that enable you to become a better version of yourself day after day after day, to become the person that you need to be to create the life you want, that's what's going to determine the success you create. And I went, well, I want level 10 success, but my level of personal development is like a 2 or 3. And I realized I need to create the most effective personal development ritual of all time. I did a little research, and the next day, the Miracle Morning, you know, wasn't called the Miracle Morning, but I did my first Miracle Morning. And within 2 months, I had doubled my income, and it changed my life. And I thought, I have a responsibility to share this with other people.
Yeah, you mentioned rituals and routines, and I've got to tell you, most people wake up, first thing they do in the morning is they reach for that smartphone or tablet, turn on the doom and gloom news, check work emails, scroll social media. Share with us how these things are counterproductive to attracting a miracle in the morning mindset.
Yeah, well, and I'll start with one that you didn't mention, which is hitting the snooze button. There's a section in the book called, you know, "You Snooze, You Lose" may have more truth than we realized. And think of it this way. We all want an extraordinary life. Every single one of us, however we would define, you know, a successful, fulfilled, happy life. Most of us, that would include being physically healthy, having a lot of energy, being happy, being financially secure. For most of us, it would be being in a healthy relationship. And when the alarm goes off in the morning, that's God's first gift to us. That's the, you know, the universe's first gift of, hey, you want to create an extraordinary life? Here you go. The day is yours. And most of us hit that snooze button repeatedly, and it's like we're telling the universe and ourselves, our subconscious, yeah, I know I say I want a really extraordinary, successful, great life, but not as much as I want to lay here unconscious for 9 more minutes and then 9 more minutes and then 9 more minutes with that snooze button. And so the premise of the Miracle Morning is how you start your day sets the tone, the direction, and the context for the rest of your day. So if you start the day by hitting the snooze button, that is procrastination by definition. You're procrastinating on waking up. Then you reach for your smartphone. You stimulate your fight or flight response. You immediately rob yourself of the period of peaceful, purposeful silence that would be available to you if you don't reach for that smartphone. And we start our day in a distracted, overstimulated state, stressful state. And then that's the day that we create the life that we live, and we rinse and repeat day after day after day after day. The Miracle Morning is about starting every single day in a peak physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual state so that you can show up at your best for yourself, for the people that you love, and the people that you lead. And by starting your day every day in an optimal way, it's the most important, easiest change you can make in your life to create the life that you really want.
Yeah, that's great. I have to say, I'm a recovering night owl, and after the arrival of a new puppy, I'm now awakened at 5 a.m. by my furry alarm clock.
Love it.
And I got to tell you, I find my mornings beyond rewarding with productivity and peace of mind I've never experienced. I now accomplish more on the weekends before my old wake-up time than I used to an entire day. What advice can you give our night owl listeners other than get a puppy with a small bladder?
Couple things. One is I'll say the Miracle Morning is not the same as the 5 a.m. club. Right? And the 5 a.m. Club, it's a concept in a book that I love. It's created by Robin Sharma. The difference is the Miracle Morning doesn't have to be done at any specific time other than when you wake up. So if you wake up every day, let's say you have to get out of bed at, you know, 7 a.m. So the Miracle Morning, you'd wake up at, let's say, 6:45, and you'd start by doing a 15-minute Miracle Morning. And most people, when they start with, you know, 15 minutes, and it's easy. Anybody can wake up 15 minutes earlier. Even if you've never been a morning person, it gets addicting. Because then what will happen is you'll sleep in on like the weekend and you'll go, wait a minute, when I wake up and do my Miracle Morning, I feel clear and motivated and energized. And when I don't do it, I feel blah. Like I missed out on that start of the day that really set me off with momentum. Even if you've never been a morning person, and I will say this other piece of data, 72% of people that we have surveyed, hundreds of thousands of people we've surveyed, 72% of Miracle Morning practitioners say that until they read the book, which does teach you how to overcome that limiting belief of I'm not a morning person, I've never been one, I don't even know if I want to be one, but 72% of people say reading the Miracle Morning changed me from never having been a morning person to now I wake up every day and I do my Miracle Morning.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I love the morning. And I swear to you, it would be like, I'd just be getting up right now. Look at all I accomplished. It was almost like I got part of life back, like I've got an extra half a day. It's really interesting. Let me ask you this. I know that in the Miracle Morning, you share 6 practices known by the acronym SAVERS. Can you share what this stands for? Maybe perhaps offer just a couple tidbits on ways people can use them to improve their life?
Yeah. So the SAVERS, the way that came about when I had the concept, I heard that Jim Rohn quote, your level of success will rarely exceed your level of personal development. I thought I've got to really ramp up my personal development. I just asked myself, well, I'm going to go Google, what do the world's most successful people do for personal development? And I read dozens of articles, and I was looking for one, maybe 2 practices, and I ended up with a list of 6 different practices. These are the most timeless, proven personal development practices in the history of humanity. I mean, none of these are new. And I got overwhelmed. I thought, I can't do all of them. And then I went, which one's the best? But there was no clear answer. And then the epiphany was, well, wait, what if I did all of them? What if I sequenced all 6 of the most timeless personal development practices into one ritual? I thought that would be the ultimate personal development ritual that would enable me to become the level 10 version of myself, right? So it all sort of makes sense. And so here's the 6 practices are organized into a memorable acronym, which is SAVERS. I call these the life savers because they saved my life from detrimental results and consequences. But SAVERS, silence, that's your meditation, your prayer, your breath work to start every day in a peak, relaxed, focused state. A is for affirmations, and not like the goofy kind where you affirm something that's not true, like you say, I am a millionaire, even if you're not. I teach you in the Miracle Morning book, the updated and expanded edition, how to create affirmations that are practical, actionable, and results oriented. And then the V is for visualization. And that's essentially mentally rehearsing yourself doing the things you need to do today while putting yourself in a peak state. And I walk you through how to do that so that when it is time to greet your family or your spouse or show up to work or take the stage or whatever you do, you've already mentally rehearsed doing it in a perfect, just like athletes do, a perfect result. The E in Savers is for exercise. You don't need to go to the gym in the morning, but 60 seconds of jumping jacks, 5 minutes of stretching, yoga, push-ups, I give you a lot of options. It puts your mental and physical and emotional components of your body, right? When we exercise, we feel good. It releases endorphins. It releases oxytocin. We feel better. We have more energy. So doing just a little bit of exercise in the morning, 60 seconds, can make a huge difference. The R is for reading. We're all one book away from transforming any area of our life. If you're struggling in your marriage, there's a book for that. Struggling your finances, there's a book for that. Struggling to wake up early or change your life, right? The Miracle Morning is a great book for that. And the final S in Savers is for scribing, which is a fancy word for writing. And when you get the worries in your mind that are on your subconscious out of your head and you put them on paper, you create a separation where you go, oh, I don't have to stress about that thing. It's in my journal. I can revisit it whenever I want, but I'm going to give myself permission to not worry or stress all day and just let it be in the journal. And then I teach you how to write down what you're grateful for and prioritize your to-do list and so on and so forth. But the last thing I'll say is those six practices known as the Savers, I'm going to quote Robert Kiyosaki, the author of the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, the number one financial book of all time. Robert, last time I spoke with him, he had me on his radio show. And he said, Hal, I've read The Miracle Morning 3 times in the last 3 months. I do it every day, almost every day. And he said, you named the book correctly. Because he said, any one of the Savers will change your life. The world's most successful people, they all do at least 1 or 2 of the Savers, maybe 3. And they attribute their success to the Savers. He said, but I've never heard of anyone, himself included, he said, that did all 6 of the world's most timeless practices for personal development in one sequential ritual. And he said, when you do, he said, it's creating miracles in my life. He said, in my marriage, my health, and my business. I figure if Robert Kiyosaki, who's sold millions of books worth tens of millions of dollars, if he still realizes that he can get better and he can change his life, I think that it's true for all of us.
Well said. You mentioned the letter S there at the beginning, there's silence. And I'll tell you, with so much noise, everything from social media, gaming, thousands of options on TV, not many embrace silence anymore. It's just like a thing of the past. Can you elaborate on the importance of just quiet time? It's always so noisy.
Yeah. Think about when does your greatest wisdom emerge? The breakthrough ideas that you have or paradigm shifts or perspective shifts. It's always in moments of silence or white noise, if you will, right? So it might be while you are in the shower, right? No devices distracting you. Now, if you're playing music, you're robbing yourself of that peaceful, purposeful silence. But it's when we're falling asleep at night. I know that for me, I got a journal by the bed very often. My biggest breakthroughs and ideas around being a dad, around my business, you name it, they come when I am in a moment of silence. Now, here's the problem. Today's fast-paced, technologically advanced, overstimulated society has robbed us of these periods of peaceful, purposeful silence that used to be embedded in our daily lives. The problem is the smartphone. The smartphone has robbed us of those moments because now it's always in our pocket. It's in our purse. It's right next to us. And so we're never bored. We're never in silence. You're in line at the grocery store or the bank. You used to look off, at the ceiling and think and ponder important things and have, brilliant ideas. But now you reach for your smartphone and you're just like a zombie. That's it. Because society and technology has robbed us of these periods of peaceful, purposeful silence. And these are the periods we access our greatest wisdom. You could say the wisdom of God, depending on your belief system, or the wisdom of your subconscious. But we don't hear it. We can't hear it when we are overstimulated, whether it's visually or auditorily or whatever it is. And so that's why the Miracle Morning and starting your day with silence, it ensures that you are giving yourself an opportunity to tap in to your deepest wisdom and have your biggest life-changing breakthroughs, not every once in a while, but every single day.
Yeah, I love that. I'm reminded I had Meryl Hemingway on the show, and after I introduced her, complete silence. Here, I'm going to give you an example. Ready right now how uncomfortable this is. Ready? Just like that. And of course, I'm in panic mode. What's going on? Is my computer broken? What's the, you know? And she said, I did that purposely because nobody embraces silence anymore. It's always panic. I love this. She says she starts her seminars that way. She just sits there and does nothing. And everybody's panicking, biting their nails, they're fidgeting. It's so uncomfortable. And she brought such a good point is we really should embrace silence. Just take a walk, walk in the forest, take a walk around and leave your phone away, leave your TikTok, leave your music, leave your podcast off. I love that. So that's such good advice. Let me ask you this. Stress is such a major factor in people's lives. It's a contributing factor to so many diseases. I was so happy to learn that you and I live by the same mantra. If you can't change it, don't stress about it. I love that. Share with the listeners how that one small rule can have such a positive impact.
Yeah, I learned this. And this next to the miracle morning, what I'm about to share is the second most impactful thing I've ever learned and applied and taught to, you know, I've taught this to now, I mean, literally millions of people over the years. But I was 19 years old and I started a career in direct sales, which is, you know, in-home presentations, lots of rejection. It's one of the hardest industries that I think that there are. On my second day of a three-day training seminar where I'm learning how to sell Cutco kitchen cutlery, my manager, who became my mentor, Jesse Levine, he said, everyone, you're all starting your, you know, a new career in sales. And he said, you are going to face adversity at a level that the average person does not. He said, the average person faces rejection every once in a while, maybe once or twice a year. He said, the average person faces failure every once in a while, maybe when they fail to reach their New Year's resolutions. He said, as a salesperson, you're going to be rejected multiple times a day on the phone, in person. He said, you're going to set goals. You're going to fail to reach them day by day, week by week. And he said, you need a strategy to quickly overcome the feelings of defeat and depression and stress. He said, so you can quickly move forward and keep going. And as he's sharing this, I think half of us are going, shoot, I don't think I want to deal with all the things you just said we got to deal with, right? But he taught us the 5-minute rule. And the 5-minute rule, he said, when something goes wrong, you set your timer for 5 minutes and you give yourself 5 minutes to bitch, moan, complain, cry, vent, feel sorry for yourself, whatever. Express your emotions fully, because he said the problem is most people suppress their emotions. They go, I don't have time to be upset about this. I'll worry about it later. And later never comes until it comes out sideways as a physical ailment or something. So the 5-minute rule, when something goes wrong in our lives, I was literally taught, so I'd have a no sale, or I'd have a customer be rude to me or cancel an appointment or cancel an order, or I'd hit traffic. I started using this in my everyday life, like traffic. So let's say we hit traffic and then you set your timer for 5 minutes. You reserve 5 minutes to feel sorry for yourself, upset, you know, get frustrated, get angry. Well, the timer goes off. You say 3 very powerful words, which you just said a few minutes ago. Can't change it. It's an acknowledgement that we can't change what happened 5 minutes ago. So now we have a really simple choice. Do you want to continue to be miserable or do you want to be free? Miserable or free, that's it. Meaning miserable is continuing to resist reality and wish that thing didn't happen and feel upset about it, even though it doesn't change it. You're just robbing yourself of the freedom to enjoy this one life you've been blessed to live. And then free is I'm choosing to accept what happened 5 minutes ago. Now, that doesn't mean I'm happy about it. I might still, it might be an upsetting thing, but I've just realized life's too short to dwell on things I can't change. I've got to accept it so that I can maybe not be happy about it, but it's more powerful than that. I can be at peace with it. And happiness is an emotion that's fleeting. You can be happy 1 minute, get some bad news, now you're upset. But when you live in a state of acceptance where you apply the 5-minute rule every time you get upset, give yourself 5 minutes to fully feel and process your emotions. Then you say, can't change it. Take a deep breath and say, I can't change it. So I'm going to be at peace with it. I'm going to accept it fully. I'm not going to wish it were different because that doesn't change it. And I'm going to make the best of what my life now, what I have, what my options are moving forward. When I was in a car at 20 years old, I was hit head on by a drunk driver and found dead at the scene. And when I came out of the coma and was told I would never walk again, I applied the 5-minute rule. Now, to be fair, it was 5 days. All right, it took me a little more than 5 minutes. I had 11 broken bones and told I would never walk again. But literally 5 days later, I decided, okay, I can't change that I was in a car accident, that I broke these bones. And if the doctors are right and I'm in a wheelchair the rest of my life, well, then I can't change it. So I get to choose to be the happiest, most grateful person that anyone's ever seen in a wheelchair. That's the choice that I'm making right now, not knowing the future, but I'm accepting it before it even happens. But I'm going to maintain unwavering faith that I can walk again. And I took my first step 3 weeks later, and the rest is kind of history. But that's it. That's, to your point, that's the, I wanted to give some context to understand that this 5-minute rule is leading to the can't change it mantra that's leading to true freedom from wishing and wanting you could change the past or change the present in terms of the things in our lives that are out of control. I can't change the pace of the traffic in front of me when I'm in traffic. So I can either enjoy every moment that I'm in the car or I can be stressed out and frustrated. And that metaphor applies to every area of your life.
Yeah, you bring up traffic. I was in traffic. It was an accident. I look in my rearview mirror and Hal, this guy behind me was screaming, punching the steering wheel. I can see the F-bomb and he's punching and he's pissed and his face is red. And I'm looking, I go, I'm just going to listen to a podcast.
Yeah, totally.
It's not worth my health because that health, that's diminishing his lifespan. Your lifespan shortens when you let stress get you like that. You just, it's toxic. And I said, you know, just like you said, if you can't change it, don't stress about it. Him doing all that ritual didn't affect the traffic. It still stood there. So I love that. I love that. I hope people hear that and take note. Let me ask you this. A lot of people, when I ask you about this, they focus on the worst case scenarios so they can be prepared and not get caught off guard when something bad happens. Can anyone shift this engraved mindset and become best case scenario thinkers? Because you're the definition of a best case scenario. I mean, you focus ahead.
Well, here's the way that I look at it. It really is, it's expect the best and accept the rest, right? Expect the best, accept the rest. And here's what I mean by that. When I was told I might never walk again, I was an optimist. I thought, well, I'm not going to accept the doctor's prognosis. Like, they don't know. Nobody knows what's possible. Miracles happen, you know, self-healing happens. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to think through the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario, I mean, obviously, I'm sure worse things could have happened. But for me, meaning I never walk again. So I'm in a wheelchair the rest of my life. I've got a date in a wheelchair. I've got to, you know, drive in a wheelchair. I'll never be able to run again, or I loved basketball, play basketball again. Okay, so worst case scenario, I'm in a wheelchair the rest of my life. Well, if that's the case, then I can't change that that's my reality. Okay, what am I going to choose? Well, I could choose to be the happiest, most grateful human being that anyone's ever seen in a wheelchair. I went, that makes a lot of sense. What's the point of allowing unchangeable circumstances to make me miserable or make myself miserable because of unchangeable circumstances? I thought, okay, so the only logical choice I have is I'm going to be at peace with being in a wheelchair. And actually, beyond peace, I'm going to strive to be the happiest, most grateful person ever in a wheelchair. All right. My worst case scenario is I'm the happiest, most grateful human being that anyone's ever seen in a wheelchair. That doesn't sound so bad. Now that I've accepted the worst case scenario, it has no power over me. I'm totally at peace with it. So it requires zero of my ongoing mental and emotional energy and attention. I now get to focus 100% of my energy and attention on the best case scenario. I'm going to visualize walking again. I'm going to visualize running again. I'm going to pray with unwavering faith through a lens of gratitude as if it's already happened, that thank you, God, for my body's miraculous ability to heal and for one day in the near future for me to take my first step and walk again and celebrate that. So I lived as if I was going to walk again completely, but I couldn't have done that if I hadn't made peace with the worst case scenario. So make peace with the worst case scenario, you know, accept it, but focus. So once you do that, you can focus on the best and then make that your reality.
I love that. I love that you wake up and you hug the morning. You're so embracing and happy of the morning. And I have a simple, profound morning ritual I do. I'll share. Having bid farewell to loved ones too soon, including my dear wife. Every day, what I do is I wake up, I press my finger to my wrist. And Hal, feeling that steady pulse, I'm reminded of the divine gift of life. This heartbeat, for me, represents my motor. And that gentle reminder that despite life's storms, I'm breathing, living, enduring when so many other cherished souls are not. It's my silent tribute to their memory. And really, it's my vow to cherish each moment that I'm granted. And I do that every morning. It's my little motor that gets me gets me going. So I love that you went through this and you've risen above that and you just embrace and you hug the morning. I see that in my new puppy. It's like my dog is so excited every morning. Like, wow, why can't everybody wake up excited like that? That's what your book represents. It represents that whole movement, that whole focus. Speaking of that, you got new chapters. I want to bring up one, The Miracle Evening, Your Strategy for Blissful Bedtime and Better Sleep. Obviously, you can't get a miracle good morning if you don't have a good night. You have to have one without the other. What advice for our insomniac listeners? It's so common. People can't sleep.
Yeah, no, I went through a period in 2020 after 3 years of chemotherapy, 700 hours of chemotherapy after cancer, and my brain, it snapped. I mean, the chemo had poisoned my brain so much. I was sleeping 2 to 4 hours a night for 6 months. And if you've ever slept 2 to 4 hours in one night, you're a mess the next day. I was hallucinating. I thought people were trying to kill me. I was suicidal. My marriage was falling apart. I was at the worst state in my entire life that life wasn't worth living that way. I could hardly go on. And so I relentlessly started researching and pursuing, how do I cure my sleep issues? And it took me probably a month of trying different supplements and different rituals and different modalities, you name it, but I figured it out. And I've slept like a baby for the last, what are we at? 3, going on 4 years now. And so knowing that sleep is such a difficult thing, I wanted to make that a big part of the new Miracle Morning update and expanded edition. So it's a 23-page chapter, give or take. And it teaches you how to, again, you said it, right? It's your strategy for blissful bedtime and better sleep. If you're anywhere between where I was, where you're sleeping 2 to 4 hours a night for 6 months and you're falling apart, hallucinating, depressed, anxious, if you're that bad or anywhere in between that and still just struggling to fall asleep or stay asleep, this chapter can completely transform that for you.
Yeah, but you know, people say they want to sleep like a baby. I don't want to. I don't want to wake up sucking my thumb in a puddle of urine. It's just not something for me to be gravitating towards. So, but it's so true. I think that all these positive worst case scenarios, doubting, I think that keeps us up. I think if your mind just can just shut down, we're able to sleep. I don't think people can turn their minds off. And I think that's so important is what you said. Looking ahead, what do you see as the future impact and potential of the Miracle Morning movement? What do you see ahead?
Yeah, that's a big question with a big answer. And what I mean is, you know, the Miracle Morning, there's nothing I've ever shared with the world with people that has made such a profound impact, both in terms of the depth where, you know, turning people's depression around, transforming their marriage. I mean, on and on and on. And you can go to Amazon and, you know, read some of the 30 some thousand reviews that'll tell you that. So for me, my life is dedicated to sharing the Miracle Morning. And, you know, you mentioned in the beginning when you were introducing me that, you know, 3.5 million people have read the Miracle Morning books. The way that I look at that is there's 8 billion people who I have to spend the rest of my life trying to reach, or until I reach them, which that I don't think I'll reach them all, right? So that's my life's work, my life's mission. And the way that we're doing it is obviously the Miracle Morning book is, that's been probably the biggest of all the impacts. But we also have the Miracle Morning movie, which is a free documentary. You can watch it on YouTube. You can go to miraclemorning.com. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. You got to rent it there for a few bucks though. But it's an award-winning documentary, 4.6 out of 5 stars, or 4.9 out of 5 stars, I think, sorry. And it just shows you, it brings the Miracle Morning book to life. And it's a great way, if you order the book, then go watch the movie while you're waiting for the book, and it will give you proof of, wow, look at all these people that are transforming their lives. And then not to mention, I got cancer halfway through filming, so you capture me fighting for my life. And then last but not least, there's a Miracle Morning app. You can download it for free, and there's a built-in affirmations creator, a journal, customizable timers for each of your savers. There's a savers tracker to keep you consistent and accountable. And then there's an option to upgrade to a premium version where it has hundreds of guided savers tracks. You can literally click play and finish your Miracle Morning in as little as, you know, 6 minutes. So yeah, so the movie, the app, the book, the Miracle Morning is now in schools across America in 20 states. And over 100,000 students and teachers are using the Miracle Morning in the classroom every single day. So there's a lot of different moving pieces.
I love what I hear. You've been such through the ringer. You've been told you'd never walk again after a crash, to a cancer scare. You weathered serious financial troubles when the economy tanked. A lot of people can relate to this. And for anyone that's getting slammed by health issues or money problems, you really show them how to keep their eye on the sunshine that comes after the storm. And it's so hard to focus on that sunshine when we're in that category 4 or 5, but it always shows up, doesn't it? It's always sunshine after the worst storm. And I love that you're bringing that. Time flew by in the minute or so we have left. Anything else that you'd like to share that we didn't cover today?
Yeah, if you're going through a difficult time right now, I have been there in many different ways, and I would never say that one person's adversity is worse than another, because it really depends on how capable you are of handling what you're going through. And if you're struggling right now, I really believe you owe it to yourself to dedicate time each day. Ideally, it's in the morning, because that starts your day in a peak way, but maybe for you, it's got to be in the afternoon or the evening before bed. But whether it's all of the savers or one of the savers, or just take time for yourself every day for your personal development, so that you can every day get a little better, a little more clear, a little calmer, a little less stressed, and a little more capable of creating the life that you want.
Well said. I want to thank you so much for inspiring us today. I know I took a few good notes here myself, and I hope others did. The book is called The Miracle Morning, The Not-So-Obvious Secret, Guaranteed to Transform Life Before 8 a.m. The newly revised and updated version is available at thenewmiraclemorning.com. And you can follow Hal on X and Instagram at Hal Elrod, on Facebook at YoPalHal. And for my daily health post on X and Facebook, I'm at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. And if you heard Hal share something today that could benefit somebody you know, I'm sure you did, send them a link to this podcast. It's available at TooGoodHealthRadio.com and RadioMD.com. And peruse our podcast library. Share these segments of interest with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. This information is just too important to keep to yourself. Don't be selfish. Sharing is caring, as I always say. And you can also subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.